From WHQR Public Media, I'm Shauna Kenny, and this is Wild Things. I cover creatures and critters of the coastal Carolinas and the people who care for them. Come with me. Let's get wild. You hear the residents of Skywatch Bird Sanctuary long before you see them. Locals know the protocol for dropping off an injured bird to their Castlehaine location. If it's between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., ring the bell attached to a string hanging from the 6-foot fence. One of a rotating cast of volunteers will answer, welcoming you into the menagerie of wild birds being rehabbed, exotics who had to be rehomed, or a number of other wayward residents they decided to take in along the way. If it's after hours, one can still place an injured bird in a crate on the porch, then text the number on a yellow sign to notify staff. Today, an emu greets me. She's about my height, staring at me intensely with piercing hazel eyes, her tuft of curly feathers making it look like she's sporting a faux hawk haircut. The females make this otherworldly drumming sound, while the males grunt more like pigs. Emus are native only to Australia, but people in the U.S. started farming them for meat and oil made from their fat in the 1980s. They are ratites, a class of birds whose ancestors date back to the dinosaurs, along the way losing their genetic ability to fly. Some of this pack at Skywatch were bought at auction by an animal hoarder in Brunswick County, and then taken away when he could no longer care for them.
The first four emus that we got came in one arrival from Brunswick County Animal Services. Sheriff called me, said, hey, would you like some emus? And I was like, well, I've never had emus before, but yeah, sure, bring them on. First he said, can you take one emu? He said they found him running down the highway in Brunswick County. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they have him somehow. They captured him and contained him. I don't know how the heck they did that. They have him contained and they need a placement, obviously. They're not set up for ratites. So I said, yeah, sure, we'll take him. The next day he calls. His first words were, I'm like, hey, Jerry, how's it going? And he's like, well, now there's two. And I was like, what's going on? Long story short, at the end of the day, there were four. And they kept finding them running around in the road and the highway, and they finally tracked down the source of where they were coming from.
That is Amelia Mason, who founded Skywatch Bird Rescue as a 503c nonprofit in 2010. She is a federally licensed wildlife rehabilitator, though working with wild animals runs in her blood. Originally from Durban, South Africa, Amelia was always around animals since her mother lived and worked in Kruger National Park.
Yeah, I grew up around wildlife, and friends of the family were all rangers and trackers and people in wildlife. Was able to have experiences by tagging along with them.
A student exchange program is what first brought her to the U.S. in college. That led to living in Portland, Oregon, then a stint as a flight attendant, meeting her husband Charles Wright in Florida, and their move to Charlotte, where she volunteered with Carolina Waterfowl Rescue.
In those days, we weren't sitting in front of the TV or had computer games. Your face wasn't in a phone screen. We were outside all day. Obviously, in Africa, you're going to come across a lot of animals outside when you're playing in the trees all day. And so those were my friends. So I always had an animal interest, but not specifically per se birds, until I became involved in the Carolina Waterfowl Rescue.
When Amelia and Charles moved to Wilmington, she learned that there was no legitimate way to help injured birds.
When we first moved here, within 2 weeks, I found a great blue heron that was tangled up in fishing line in the freezing ice-cold waters in winter off of Carolina Beach State Park. And we were canoeing, stumbled upon him, helped him, rowed up to the bank, the little fishing pier there at the park. We saw sort of like a crowd of fishermen looking at something in the water. You realize they're looking at this heron that had flew into their lines and it was tangled up. When we got to the land, there was an officer, the park ranger was there at the time. And I asked her, thinking, well, surely she has like the go-to place. She would tell me where I can take it or where I can, because this bird's going to die without medical care. And she didn't have an answer. She said her plan was to lay him on the bank, lay him on the ground and leave him alone and let him die naturally overnight. It was going to be like 27 degrees that night, and he was already completely hypothermic and water soaked. So we brought him home, and I knew what to do from my experience with the waterfowl rescue.
The lack of official bird rescue disturbed Amelia enough for her to do something about it. She and Charles bought 10 acres of land just outside of the city limits in 2010. Amelia works here full-time and does not take a salary from the business. Charles built all of the enclosures and aviaries standing today in hours outside of his day job, and it's an ongoing labor of love.
Building that cage took up every weekend for a couple of months. You never sneak the time in, so we're getting the boat running again so we can go get some of our own food source.
Mainly want to cast net for the birds, yeah. Right? Bring mullet and bait fish in. We need hundreds of pounds every day.
The residents here are both wild and domestic. Macaws, great horned owls, pelicans, mourning doves, chickens, ducks, geese, and more all live close together at Skywatch in various states of health, seemingly unbothered by the family's 5 pet dogs running around. Mason says she does not trophy hunt and treats every bird the same.
All birds need help. Not to insult anybody else, but that's something that a lot of wildlife facilities or bird rescues don't do. I've seen, you know, facilities drive hours to pick up a bald eagle, but they won't drive one block to pick up a gull who's been hit by a car. And I get it, gulls are like, you can get a dozen gulls a day that's been hit by cars. It's a very common intake versus the eagle. But my theory on that, you know, my feeling, not a theory on that, is the pain from a broken bone is felt the same by a gull versus an eagle. A broken bone hurts just the same for each species. It's not like the gull doesn't feel pain, but the eagle does. They're both, you know, hurt the same and feel the same fear and pain. So is that what we're trying to help a bird that's suffering, or only the cooler species if they're suffering, right? So I have a principle about that. So we help all birds as much as we can and if we can reach them.
Feeding time gets the ducks, Canada geese, and black swans all excited. As donkeys roll around on their backs and horses prance about in a nearby dusty field.
We were concerned about coyotes here and there because definitely you could hear them at night. And that's actually part of the reason why we acquired the donkeys. So the donkeys keep coyotes and foxes at bay, and they do a really good job. So their job is security. They're predator patrol. They all came from kill pens. The mini donkeys came from Georgia. The owner actually ran a horse rescue. And in her 70s, she was dying of cancer. And she asked if I can take her 3 mini donkeys. So they brought them here. But all of the other ones came from kill pens.
Amelia explains that when people are done with their equine and unable to sell them anymore, they often send them to kill pens, where the animals are transported to Mexico without food or water for days, then slaughtered for byproducts like leather and dog food. It is not the death that bothers Amelia in this story, but the inhumane suffering inflicted along the way. She deals with death every day in her line of work.
I've had to euthanize tens of thousands of animals. It's difficult, you know, you have to learn to emotionally process that and deal with that. Again, it's just really, really important at the end of the day for anyone to survive in this industry is you can't think with your heart and you can't covet. I see people keeping things alive that are in pain and are suffering, and there is no fixing them. It's a dead end road. They're going to continue suffering until they die slowly on their own anyway. So why are we just making them quote unquote comfortable and giving them food and water and watching them basically die slowly? The reason for that is because as humans, what we're doing is we're coveting. So you're sparing yourself the pain of the euthanasia. You're not sparing the animal anything. You're saving your feelings. You're rehabbing your own feelings.
She's quick to call out the disconnect for those who cry over a bird who cannot be saved, yet eat chicken sandwiches, knowing those birds endured worse endings.
It is a violent act. Regardless of how gently you're doing it, you're ending a life. And for us, it's like, well, I can't hurt an animal. The irony here is tonight they're going to eat meat. Those animals go through a lot of pain before they end up in the deep fryer, right? You're going to eat steak. But yet if you have a little squirrel or whatnot in your hands, you just absolutely cannot kill it because I can't hurt an animal. Well, you can't really say that if you eat, you know, it's kind of a weird, anyway. We're humans, we're hypocrites, right? We're hypocrites. You paid money and you didn't see any of the process and now you see the end product. you didn't see the violence in between. If you were a fly in the slaughterhouse and watched the process happen, you would never eat chicken again in your life.
Yeah.
But it's out of sight, out of mind, literally out of sight, out of mind.
It is a deep concern for the future that keeps her going.
Your life isn't normal whatsoever. But what keeps me from quitting is if I quit today, who else in Wilmington is going to help the birds? Is there anybody else that can take the baton from me that day and pick it up and keep going? So it's a guilt factor. I would feel guilty if I quit. If there were other people that are licensed and other facilities, yeah, we can keep bird rehab going in Wilmington. I'll probably retire tomorrow. I'd be like, great, excellent. I've done my share. I'd like to rest now. As long as there continues to be a safety net for wild birds in this area, then I would feel comfortable cutting back or even retiring or whatever, knowing that their care will continue. But there isn't. See a need, fill a need.
Resident raptors like red-shouldered hawks, osprey, and other birds of prey who would not be able to survive on their own in the wild live in cages separate from the other birds here. They now have names like Stormy and Ariane. On the outer edges of the property, black vultures roost on the peak of a greenhouse, their silhouettes cutting striking figures against the tree line. They are unofficial residents, waiting for the inevitable scraps thrown their way at the end of a day. Since wild animal protection is not federally nor state funded, Skywatch relies solely on donations, monetary and otherwise. So this holiday season, consider bringing your leftovers to Skywatch. Our fine feathered friends will appreciate them.
We have plenty of omnivores and scavenger type animals like gulls, crows, ravens, vultures, even a few mammals. Like we get a lot of possums in when the other mammal rehabbers are full and whatnot. We have plenty of scavenger animals that would be more than happy to finish your feast for you. So we encourage people to, instead of throwing food away, just bring it here and we'll put it to good use. When we say the scraps, we don't mean like just the bones. We mean like the actual cooked food. And people are surprised to hear that. Spices are okay and cooked is okay. Veggies, fruit, everything is cooked, okay. Whether it be pasta or the cornbread or whatever, bring it here. And we check everything, make sure it's appropriate. And it's not the only thing the animal eats. We add that to a complete diet. So with all the other ingredients they're going to eat today, some of your pumpkin pie would be part of their meals today. So we put it to good use.
Well, we take pumpkins at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we do take pumpkins, we'll not painted ones or rotten ones.
Pumpkins out here right after Thanksgiving.
Just normal looking pumpkins. But a lot of the animals eat them and the donkeys love them. It's their treats. Some of the birds will eat the seeds or we use them for enrichment. Like we'll drill a hole in them and fill it with bugs or meats. And then the vultures have to like work to get the food out. It's enrichment. So a lot of good uses for them. Or I'll boil it soft and feed it to the chickens and turkeys and they like it too. So, and at the end of the day, again, whatever scraps are left over, we leave it out in the field and all kinds of wild critters come and finish it off. So nothing ever gets wasted.
I'm your host, Shauna Kenny, and this has been Wild Things. Many thanks to Mike Holiday for the music, Kel Skonberg for mixing and editing, Jeffrey Everett for the logo, and Ben Shockman for production. This is all made possible by a grant from the Fourth Estate Fund. Thanks for listening. See you in the wild.